Yes, how great is our God. Rejoice in the Lord for the abundant way that he's dealt with you. Hallelujah, that's a good word. Seemed like he was pretty emphatic about that. Yes, that he was trying to get a point across. I believe that God is becoming more and more intent upon people knowing him for who he really is, rather than taking people's word for it that don't have a clue what he's like. I believe that he wants people to believe that he says, rejoice in the Lord who has dealt abundantly with you, because the Bible says he's dealt abundantly with you. I think that he's tired of people saying, well, we don't know why that little boy is sick or in such trouble, but God has a reason. I think he's tired of hearing that kind of stuff. I think he's tired of being blamed for that. I think if you think about it, you wouldn't want to be blamed for that. Would you? You wouldn't want somebody, you know. It'd be like stomping on the foot of a puppy and saying, I don't know why Vicky wanted that puppy's foot stomped on. Me coming home and accusing her of stomping on the puppy's foot. You know? I mean, you don't like to be falsely accused, do you? Do you? You don't like to be lied about? You know, you don't like that. And yet, God is continually lied about. And I think that he's about to make it so clear what the truth is, because then the truth will make people free. We know that Scripture tells us that, you know, even during the time when he was preparing to destroy everything, he was still making the rain fall on the righteous and the wicked. And he was still revealing himself by that very thing. He was still revealing his goodness. And we know that in the Old Testament, there were places where, you know, Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. And then Elijah prayed and it did rain. And Elijah didn't pray to Elijah. Elijah prayed to God. And people got to see that, okay, you don't believe that God sends out the rains? Elijah asked me to stop the rains. Elijah asked him to stop the rains, and he stopped the rains. And people saw that it was God who stopped the rains. And they were mad at Elijah because Elijah prayed, tried to chase him down, tried to kill him, tried to get rid of him. He wasn't the one that stopped the rain. God did. And then one day God said, Elijah, pray again. And so Elijah prayed again. And there was a cloud, a tiny little cloud. And Elijah got up and ran and said, you better get home. You better get home in your chariot because the rains are coming. And boy, the rains came. And again, it was because of God. And so what does everybody remember? That God withheld the rain. But why did he withhold the rain? Because Elijah asked him to. Why did Elijah ask him to? Because God said, I got to show these people some things. But we've become so desensitized that a lot of times we don't see the things. We don't recognize the things. We don't grab at the things, you know. We should grab at the idea when God says, rejoice in the Lord, for he's dealt abundantly with you. We should rejoice in that. You know, I look at that like being a promise for the future, and I look at that for like being a challenge to look at how abundantly God has dealt with you. Because we need to sit and contemplate the Lord and consider how abundantly he has dealt with us. That we have received blessings, that we have received his goodness. To just be with him is good. And so this week, the Lord has taken me back to the place. Because over the last couple of years, since the dream about the place, frequently the Lord has said, remember the place. And when something happens, that when he reminds me, then he helps me fit it in to what was at the place or how it fits into the place. Remember the place? Remember the place where when I would consider something, when I would consider a need, there it was. It appeared, but it didn't appear because I considered it. It appeared because it was there in the first place. But when I considered it, I looked for it. You see, we need to look for the goodness of God. We need to acknowledge that he is good, and we need to look for his goodness. Today, when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord for the abundant way that he has dealt with you," we don't want to just scoff that off and say, "Well, he's dealt abundantly with somebody, but he hasn't dealt abundantly with me." Or some people would say, "Boy, he has dealt abundantly with me. Everything's turned to crud." God doesn't do crud. God doesn't have crud. He doesn't have it. The world has crud. Why does the world have crud? Well, because sin came into the world. And choices came into the world. And choices produce crud. Well, I never chose what the state that I'm in, but did you choose a different one? You understand? It isn't a case of doing nothing. In Proverbs, it says, be careful what you think because your mind controls your life. Now, we don't want to think that, but that's what it says. But if we will consider it, what I'm thinking could be stinking. What I'm thinking could be directing me a wrong direction. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where somebody says something and then somebody says back to them, "Well, I thought you meant this." Don't think about what you thought I meant. Think about what I said. "Well, I didn't think you really meant it." Don't think about what you think. Think about what I said. You probably didn't really mean what you said, right? Yeah, I wouldn't have said it if I didn't really mean what I said. But since you think that, forget it. Do you understand how that conversation could go that way? When it went from what was going to be something back to nothing because somebody wouldn't think what they thought? Or tried to think what they were thinking when they got no business thinking what they're thinking? I got no business thinking what you're thinking. You got no business thinking what I'm thinking. You just need to listen to what I'm saying. No, I can't say that again. But you understand what I'm saying. And so God, in all of his wisdom, said, be careful about what you think because your mind controls your life. They set their hearts to seek the Lord. Cast down the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Anybody ever have thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? I was at the prison this week, and a guy walked in before the service, and he said, "I got a word from the Lord for you." I said, "Praise the Lord." But he didn't tell me what the word was. After church, he said, "Can I talk to you? Can I talk to you?" And we went into a room that I wasn't sure he and I could be in, because I'm not sure who's allowed in that room. Yeah, it's a little sticky around there. But he said, "I had a word for you from God." He said, "This year is renewal." I said, "Praise the Lord. I'll take that." "No, no." He said, "I saw Jesus, and Jesus said your name, and it was a word for you." He said, "Then I found out yesterday you were coming this week." I'm thinking, okay. He said, "Touch him on the head." The guy's Hispanic, so I'm catching sort of what he's saying, but he's kind. He repeats it a couple of times. No, "I saw Jesus, and Jesus said, touch you on the head." So I reached out, and I touched you on the head. He said, "No, right in the middle of his head." Okay? He said, "I touched in your head." He said, "See?" And he said, "Yeah, I see." He said, "I saw you. I saw you inside." "What'd you see inside?" "I just saw inside." And he said, "The Lord says he's going to renew you from the inside out." I thought, oh, praise the Lord. That's a desire of my heart. Cleanse me, Lord. Search me and know my ways. Try me and know my thoughts. And I gave him my address. He said, "I'll write you a letter." I can't wait to get the letter. You know, why did God talk to him? Why did God tell him my name? You know? I don't know, but I'm glad I was there. So I've been I've been taking that. I've been believing that. I've been recognizing when he's renewing me from the inside out. And some of the inside, when they get out, I go, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. But I think that's God doing that. He's flushing.
It's for us too.
Huh?
It's for us too.
Amen. It's for everybody. Take it. Absolutely. Amen. That's right. Declare the thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Vicki. Vicki was sitting here chewing on that, thinking. Finally, she said, I'm going to say it. I'm going to take it. It's mine. You know? But I mean, it's God's doing things. And so I can grasp that and take that, or I can say, I don't know about that. He's in prison. To me, that gives him position to hear from God. Now, I will grant you, you could tell some people that a guy in prison had a word for God from you, and they would say, well, that's reason enough not to believe it right there. But they don't know God if they think that's the case. Now, I grant you that it's possible to get nothing, but the thing is his word was about something I've been praying about. Something that I've been seeking the Lord for. I want it done. I don't want any hindrances. I don't want anything between me and my Savior. I don't want it. And you see, this is the thing about going back to the place. About going to that. Because you see, you remember in the place that yes, the things when I thought of them, the things were there. What I needed was there. But before I got to that place, there was that place where that dark tunnel, where there wasn't able to see anything, but I knew that the tunnel seemed to be okay, that it was safe, but it was dark. But I needed to bypass that. I got a glimpse of that to go to this, to see all of that, to get to the place where we could go back to the tunnel, and I would just be happy that it was a safe place. You see, when you know that you know, only because you know him, that's a safe place. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to see everything. Because you see, like last week we talked about seeing is believing, okay? And Jesus came so we could see and believe. But he said faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so he came so we could see, so we could believe what we can't see. Do you understand? Jesus revealed to us all the attributes of God, all the goodness of God, all the love of God, everything that is necessary to cast down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And he said, now, when you can believe without seeing, because he said, you're blessed that you get to see, but even more blessed are those who don't get to see. Because they believe without seeing. And when we come to the place that we can believe without seeing, how much more is there that we can get to see? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What I came to discover and have come to discover as God reveals and gives greater revelation is that it was fine and dandy that to know that when I needed something, it was there. But the more that we realize that it's there, the less that we need it because we realize the source that it comes from. And so then it becomes a thing. A person who gains the world and loses his soul has nothing. But a person who gains the presence of God has no need of everything else. And when we have no need of everything else can be supplied. Because even if I don't have this, I have him. And when I have him, this might come, but who cares? I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lean back against you, and breathe. You see, we need to take time and enjoy leaning back against him and breathing. And when do we most need to do that? We most need to do that when everything around us is trying to tear us away from that. And we just lean back and breathe. Because when we lean back and breathe and we just trust the Lord, guess what we can do without any problem? We can wait. And they who wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those aren't just a bunch of words. Those are things to contemplate. Because the Lord is for you, and of God before me, who can be against me? And as I draw near to him, he draws nearest to me. And when I seek him, I'll find him. When I call, he will answer. All of those things, those are the things that will overcome the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Make sense? You see, there's a place, and it's a place in him. And that's what he's trying to get everybody to, is in that place in him. And the place in him is the same for everybody. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that I'd go and get them and come back for you to come to them. In my Father's house, there's all of this. Everything is in its place, and it's your place. And so it's good to be able to see. It's great. But you know, I was thinking this morning about, you know, I was thinking, God, this would be a wonderful time when, for all practical purposes, it looks like there's no possibility for Brexton or for Dunn. That, boy, this would be a time to show off, God. But what would it change? Jesus raised the dead and they crucified him. Jesus told the people that said, show us a miracle and then we'll believe. He said, I ain't showing you nothing. But to the people who already believed, he said things will happen, but the things won't be the important part. I'll be the important part, God says. Make me your important part. That's what God keeps calling. Just make me your important part. Because that's what's most important to him. It's not trying to figure out, oh, what can I do more for God? Love him. Because when you just love him, out of your innermost being will flow living waters. He said, just go into the world and be prepared at every opportunity to share the hope that is within you. So get out there and live with hope. There's people that have gotten worn out trying to earn their way with God. You know what I mean? Have I saved enough people? I haven't saved one person in my life. I've planted a lot of seeds, but I haven't saved one person. I've prayed with a few. I've prayed with quite a few. But if they got saved, it was God that saved them. And I don't have a bag that I can carry around and say, well, this ought to get me into heaven. But we've all experienced a thing of feeling like we haven't done enough, we can't do enough, and boy, oh boy, what does that do for you? Doesn't that just, it doesn't do a thing for you. It makes you want to think, if I haven't done enough yet, then I must not be able to do enough, so I may as well do nothing. And that's not a bad start. Do nothing, but love God. Greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You get that down pat, all these things will be added to you. You know, take no thought of these things, because if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Your heavenly Father knows your needs before you ask him. So we need to be convinced that he knows before we ask. And if we know that he knows, then we ask, because he said you still ask. But if you ask and you don't believe, that's double-minded. You won't receive anything from God. You see, all of these things, you know, well, I've asked before. Jesus said ask and keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. The enemy wants you to give up. He wants you to give up. He doesn't want young people to fall in love with God at a young age. My goodness, what, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? To fall in love with God. I mean, you wouldn't have any fun. Anybody here that waited a long time to fall in love with God discover that it wasn't so much fun we thought we were having? Yeah. Even those who weren't total reprobates have to acknowledge that, wow, you know, I wish I'd have known then what I know now. Don't worry about what you didn't know then. Think about what you can know now. You see, because that's the news. I had a guy, and I'm going to get back to him. He came up to me, and he and I were having a nice conversation, and then this other person that you never have a nice conversation with stepped up and said, well, maybe you can help Casey. Oh, don't mention that name, okay? And this guy said, no, Roger knows I'm beyond help. I said, nobody's beyond help. Oh, yeah, you know I am. I thought, he wants me to come and see him. He absolutely wants me to come and see him. He must, otherwise he wouldn't say something like that. You know, where would anybody get the idea that they were beyond help? They aren't greater than God. That's somebody saying, I think I'm helpable if somebody will help me. Well, that's an easy enough thing to figure out. I can help. How can I help? God. I'm prepared at every opportunity to share the hope that lies within me. But I'm not going to crawl on cut glass to try to find somebody that'll, would you please hear the hope? Jesus said, blessed are you because you see. Once people start looking, there's an opportunity for them to see. Even before they looked, there were opportunities. But, you know, how many people have said, man, how did I miss that? There's so much that we don't know. And that's okay. But Jesus said, you need to know me. Paul said, I just got to know him. Everything else is useless. But the greatness of knowing him. You know, that would have been all Paul would have needed to write, except people started getting complicated. Paul wrote his letters in answer to questions and situations that if they just would have trusted God and just loved God and just enjoyed God, he wouldn't have had to write that. Because then he wrote that, and my goodness, has all that stuff been confused or what? Because people start saying, well, I think he meant this. But the Holy Spirit tells us what he meant. And sometimes I'm telling you, that the Word of God is powerful, it's true, it's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, and there's some parts of it that until God says it applies to you, you don't need to get caught up in. And those are the very things that so many people have gotten caught up in and fought about, and it's separated people. You know, should a woman talk in church? Do you think that God intended that people spend 100 years trying to figure out if it was okay about that? You know? Is it possible that when Paul said, now, it's, I don't say this is the Lord, it's how I feel, that that's exactly what he meant? Well, God put it in the book. Yeah, to see if we were smart enough to sort it out. To see if we were smart enough to say, well, if they're not supposed to talk, how come there were prophetesses? How come a guy had three daughters that prophesied? Can't we put the whole book together and figure it out for ourselves? You see, some things are simply better left alone, and we get back to the most important part. Just love God. And believe that he loves you. And see what happens. See if rivers of living water won't flow out of you. See if your life just doesn't become more hopeful and more confident. Yeah. Hey, Keith, do you mind if I use your name? This Keith was in church last week, and the next thing I see is him inviting somebody else to church. I said, you're on a mission field. I'm not on a mission field. I'm just telling people the truth. Hello. Just telling people the truth. That's a good thing for missions to do. You know? Because you see, we live on a mission. Our mission is to love God and to reveal Him whenever we have the opportunity. Just cast your bread on the water. Just live trusting. Relieved from pressure. Get to that place, you see, that sweet spot where you know. And what you don't know, you know is okay. Where you can just stop and lean back against Him and breathe. Okay. Okay. I have the mind of Christ. Okay. It'll be okay. Show me the way, Lord. Teach me your path. Transform me by the renewing of my mind. I just cast down those imaginations. That doesn't sound like God to me. I'm just going to cast that down. I'm just going to, just give me a second. I'm just leaning back here. I'm just enjoying the presence of God. How do you think that makes God feel? I think that makes Him feel good. Don't you? There's a place. It's a good place. It's a perfect place. And it's your place. Your place with God. There's no place like your place with God. Because you have a special place with God. Because you're a special person. And because you're a special person, you can enjoy your place with God. And when you're in your place with God, nothing else matters. Amen. Lord, you know the place. You know the way to the place. And you lead us. You lead us. You lead us beside still waters. You make us to lie down in green pastures. You restore our souls. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even if there's trouble on this side and all around us, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Ah, Lord, you anoint our heads with oil. You prepare that table before us in the presence of the enemy. Lord, our cup is overflowing. You declared to us today, rejoice. Rejoice in the abundant way, your God. The abundant way that God has dealt with us. Yeah. Yeah. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us. And we'll just take time to stop and let it overflow us. As we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen.